This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I knew it. Another Herdat Media production.
Okay, we're going to get right into it. I'm so excited about this episode, everyone. I've met her like so many times, and like this is the first conversation we're ever going to have. She's a TV host, political commentator, and author. Please welcome Essie Cupp.
This is CNN Breaking News.
I just was like, I have to. Jesus Christ.
That's amazing.
I was like, it could have been worse. I could have went to Unfiltered and grabbed that music.
That was awesome.
This is so great that I have you on, because I've always been a fan of yours. And like, I was like thinking, I'm like, well, why am I a fan? It's just one of those things when I watch CNN a lot. Over the years and so forth, I've always seen you on there. I just always like listening to you on there. And I just kind of was always like, I really like her. I don't know why I like her, but I just like her. It's like one of those things, right?
That's really nice. Thank you.
You know, of course. And then when I saw you at BravoCon in 2022, I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, fuck the housewives. I'm going over to her to get a photograph. And that was when the first time when I wrote the cookbook with Amy Phillips.
Yes.
I was there with my stand, like selling the cookbooks and all that kind of stuff. And then I saw you again this year.
And I beelined for you.
Yes. You were like, hey. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, okay. Like, then shortly after that, Herdat Media approached me. They're like, hey, do you want to do a podcast? I was like, yeah. And I was like, I wrote down a list of people. I was like, you definitely have to come on. Like, first of all. And so I'm so happy you're here. So thank you so much. It really means a lot.
I'm so happy to be here. And I'm so glad you're doing this, because you're really good at it. And like, we just need more of you.
Oh, thank you.
We need more stew. We need more stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always have a question, like when, like a lot of people ask me when, like, how did you become a chef? Like, did you like culinary school? Like how did you become a journalist? Like, what did you remember, like a specific age where like, oh my God, I love writing, or I love doing this so much?
Yeah. So I always loved writing. And in fact, I mean, I was writing books at like 6 and 7.
Wow.
They weren't good, but I was writing them. And so I loved writing so much, in fact, and it was so natural to me. I thought, this can't be my career. It's too easy. So I kind of like dismissed writing as a job. But I was always into the news. And one of my biggest memories of that is I'm maybe 10 or 11 and the Gulf War happens. And I'm on the living room floor with my parents watching it obsessively. Mm-hmm. And
wow,
just being amazed at how it's being covered by, you know, Bernie Shaw at CNN at the time, Wolf Blitzer. I mean, yeah. I remember viscerally.
So you just had this obsession with it.
Yeah, the news. And yeah, and there were a number of moments like that where it wasn't the issue or the story, it was the coverage of it that I was obsessed with.
Yeah.
And so when I was young, like in high school, this new magazine came out called Brill's Content. And it was the first magazine about the news. It was about the media.
Okay.
And I have every issue. I got my first subscription to any magazine I paid for with my own money in high school was this magazine about the news. And so when I got to college and started working for the newspaper, it all crystallized. And yes, I'm going to write for a living. And yes, I'm going to be in the news. But it was always just like an interest. And for my younger life, I was a ballet dancer. And I thought that's what I was going to do for my job. So it took a while to kind of figure out that this thing that I love and I am obsessed with should probably just be my job.
I always think like for some reason, I just have like smart women around. Like my best friends are just like smart, and they're like a lot of girls, and they go to like, one of my best friends, she's like an English major at Berkeley, like incredible writer. She just like writes, and it's just like so beautiful to see. I am so impressed with people that can write, because it's like, I'm just so terrible at it. I mean, first of all, I'm from Ireland, like, so we can barely speak English, first of all. But I mean, it's like, thank God for ChatGPT. Like, I'll write out stuff now. And it is like for someone like me, it's such a great tool. Yeah. Not for it like, hey, give me ideas and stuff like that. But like sometimes it can kind of help with that. But I can write out a paragraph of something. I'm like, hey, clean this up for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's really nice, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it's such a talent. So,
well, I can't cook. And so I'm impressed with anyone that can cook. But I think this will make sense to you because I think this is the same. I'm a writer because I have to. Have to write. I can't.
To make money.
Do a day, to live.
Yeah.
It's grieving for me. And it might be the same with you and food. I don't know. But like, I meet a lot of creative people.
No, I have to. Yeah.
Yeah, who are the same thing. Like, I have to do it. It's all I think about. I don't feel normal until I've done this.
Like, what is, like,
you know, I'm good at it. It's, I have to.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, what, like, you know, you work at CNN and you go on, like, you won, like, loads, multiple different shows on there, right? Like, you pop on and off and stuff.
Yeah.
And so when you wake up in the morning, do you have, like, an inbox of just, like, here's the stories of the day? Or, like, or do you go research yourself? Or, like, what, like, how does that work?
Yeah, so I'm booked for appearances in a number of ways.
Yeah.
A bunch of the shows book me in advance. So we don't know what we're going to be talking about that day, but you're going to come on. And then I'll wake up in the morning and there'll be requests. Can you come on today at this time to talk about this specific story? But it's my job to know what I have to know every day.
Yes.
And so I wake up, I turn on CNN. I get a lot of news that way. It's mostly what CNN's going to be talking about that day, because that's how I'll know what I'll be talking about that day. But I have other interests as well. I read a lot about foreign policy. I work in child hunger space. I'm an ambassador for No Kid Hungry. I read a lot about hunger. I read a lot about some advocacy issues that are important to me. So I read for my job, and then I read up for my, you know, my personal interest.
Your personal stuff. Okay, cool. Yeah. I always was just kind of interested in that and like how it works. So and that's why I was like asking you,
I
want a tour of CNN when I come to New York.
I will give you a tour. But I get this question a lot. Like, how do you keep up with everything?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like these are brand new stories every day. It's a continuing story. So, you know, if you've been paying attention, as I have, I've been in this business for about 20 years, you get an institutional knowledge that just builds.
Yeah.
And then you're just tacking things on, little things every day that are adding to the story. It's not I'm reading a story for the first time every day. That's really not usually.
It's just like you're building upon it every day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I asked you yesterday, I was like, hey, like I'll always write out topics for whatever guest I have on. I was like, hey, do you have any things that you want to talk about? Like, it's always interesting to ask the guest, like, hey, is there anything you want to get off your chest? Or so Essie sent me a few things back. So we're just going to get into it right now. Squatting.
Dude, I'm obsessed with this because my blood boils when I read these stories.
It's I Googled it after I was on the flight on the way back from New York, and I was like, okay, I need to look into this. And of course, like I just type in squatting. New York Post brings me up one recent article about like this couple, $900,000 property, an investment property. So like, here's the thing. Can this happen two ways? Like, okay, so I can pretend to go into a place. I'm like, hey, pay my rent for 3 months. And then I'm like, I'm done and I'm not fucking leaving. That's one way.
Yes.
Or you break into an empty property.
This is so wild. And now that you're like, now that I've brought up squatters, you're going to see these stories everywhere because they're everywhere now. It's like a boomlet. This is so wild. I would be in jail. If this happened to me, I'd be in jail because there's like three indignities that happen here. Imagine you go away, right? You come home and some guy's in your house.
Could you
and
imagine?
The guy does not run scared when you've caught him. He's like, I'm staying. And you're like, what? What? And the guy's like, yeah, I live here now.
It's just like full on like gaslighting. You're like, no, I live
absolutely
here.
Like to about? Drive like, you crazy. Then you're like, well, I'm gonna call the police. And the police are like,
yes.
You can't leave. You can't remove him.
That's
can't
just
locks.
Crazy to me. Like
wait, this guy broke into my house and lives here now. And I have to like live with him. or give him my house, it's insane. I'd be in jail. There's no way. Yeah. There's no, I'm not going through the legal system. It's crazy.
I've heard, there's a story from years ago. Somebody, a friend of mine's like dad owned a bunch of properties and this happened. And he just like hired these people to go in and just, I think, kind of like threaten them and got them out and paid like the $5,000 or $10,000. Yeah, or something like that. I mean, if someone came with like a crowbar to your door, you're fucking leaving.
Yeah.
Like I'm out. You know what I mean?
Gone, you kind of
have to just take it into your own hands. I understand, like not to resort to violence, but you kind of need to threaten them to get them out.
I could
what are you going to do?
I could not imagine. I don't understand how all of these homeowners are not in prison, because the patience you must have to try to just go through a legal channel that can take months while some asshole's living in your house. I just can't even imagine.
And so do they ever leave where you're like waiting outside and you run in, change the locks, and then they can't come back in? Like,
you can't change the locks. It is illegal.
No.
Yes, in these squatters' rights states and cities, you will be criminally prosecuted for changing your own locks. You can't
trick them. Of a property you own.
Yeah, it's wild, and all of these laws need to be revisited.
You can probably answer this for me because I don't know. The term squatters, like, why did it originally come about? Like, what, like, why is there a protection for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it came about because in places like New York City, where tenements and landlords were, you know, landlords were traditionally for a long time, historically, not nice and not fair and not decent. And
got it.
These laws came about to protect renters against punitive landlords and fraudulent crook landlords.
Yeah.
Because it was not a well-regulated business in the
Or would they just like double the rent or whatever, like stupid things like that?
In a second, or kick you out in a second. So that's how they came about. But we don't live in that world anymore. Mm. Landlords have to follow rules and regulations. These laws protecting squatters versus homeowners, they're insane.
Jesus. I mean, that's like, I'm going to look more into it because it is really interesting. And the stories are just gut-wrenching as well, though. You're just kind of like...
Yes.
And sometimes it can be years until they get them out. It's just...
I can't.
I'm so upset now.
I know. It makes my blood boil. And I pitched a show called Squatters that was just going to be these stories over and over again because there's so many of them.
And just you going out into the field, just interviewing people and like all
and
that
like
kind of stuff.
That's really doors. Good.
Yeah. Oh, that would actually be amazing. You also said like restaurants are your hobby. I just got back from New York. I went to Casa Cipriani, which was amazing. That was like so beautiful.
Yes.
Because my friend was a member there. We went around the West Village. Where else did we go? We went to this crazy restaurant. It's called Lily's and it's like themed. There was bears and stuff like that, like polar bears. It was like a winter wonderland. It was like kind of like an Irish Victorian. My friend was like, hey, let's just go here. It's easy on like Sunday night before I left on Monday. And I was like, oh, I said, this is just so bizarre. It was like chicken wings and stuff like that. I went to Pastis, which was like amazing as
Love
always.
Pastis, yeah.
That's my favorite. What? Give me one or two of your favorite places. I mean, I guess for anybody listening, if you go to New York, here you go.
Oof.
It's always
so
I hate
many.
That
when I say like, you know, my husband likes to hunt and fish, and I do too.
I saw you did that this weekend.
Yeah, I do a lot of that too. But if you ask what my hobby is, it's going to dinner, it's going to restaurants, it's what I love the most. When I turned 40, my husband was like, "What should we do?" And I said, "I just want to go out to eat somewhere great." And he said, well, let's look at what's the best restaurant in the world right now. Mm. And it was, in Italy, Osteria Francescana in Modena, Italy was it at the time. And I said, okay, let's go there. Great. But then he said, well, numbers 2 and 3 are in Spain and France. Why not do all 3? And so did this driving tour from Spain through France to Italy to do these the top 3 restaurants in the world.
Yeah.
It was the trip of a lifetime, but like, that's all
that
I
is the trip
do
of a lifetime.
Go out to dinner.
That's a really like your husband's awesome for like thinking of that. That's amazing. And like, what a great trip.
It was great. I mean, it was a lot because, you know, these restaurants, you know how they are. It's like 20 courses, 4 hours, wine pairings.
Yes.
And so it's a lot. We did it over 7 days with a day in between each big night, but like it was a lot. In New York, honestly, my favorite restaurant in New York is probably Katsuya.
Okay.
It's just, I don't know if it's basic. It's not.
And a lot.
It's not, I love Katsuya. I think
it's always like a vibe. Do you know what I mean? There's a vibe. I went to Chaconi's as well there.
It's so good. The food is so good. Yeah, but I also love Mirandi. Is one of my favorite Italian restaurants. Pastis, Balthazar. I love, you know, little French bistro places. I've got a lot because I've lived in New York for 15 years and I work there.
Do you think the French onion soup is better at Balthazar or Pastis?
Woo! This is a controversy. I would say Balthazar because it's mostly about the ambiance there. I want to tuck into a hot bowl of soup at Balthazar. At Pastis, I want something a little lighter, maybe some escargot, maybe a niçoise salad. It's an ambiance thing for me.
Okay. I need to have it at Balthazar. I haven't had it yet. But every time I go to Pastis, I get the French onion soup. I think it's like one of the best I've ever had.
It's so good. What's your favorite restaurant ever, period?
Do you know what it is? It's really funny. When I first moved to America, I lived up in Napa Valley.
Is it French Laundry?
No. But it wasn't my favorite. I mean, it was great. It was an amazing experience. But like, you know, more like kind of like on a daily basis or you can go anytime, like that kind of idea. I really love Bouchon up there in Yonville.
Okay.
It's like we would go all the time. Like I would work at Meadowood and then we would go there and like every evening at like 5 o'clock, we'd sit at the bar. We'd get like oysters. I would get like probably a croque madame or something. And it just like brought me so much happiness. That restaurant
does.
I just love it so much. So it just, that's like the memory. Or Cindy's Backstreet Kitchen that was in St. Helena. That was another place. It's not there anymore, but the best pineapple upside down cake I've ever had in my life.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
Do you know what these like memories just stick in your head? And
Ben
and Jen, you sent me that text and I was like, what's going on with Ben and Jen? You have to. Well, I know everybody hates her on TikTok. So that's one thing.
Well, I don't hate her, but I cannot with her right now. And I was not here for like Ben and Jen 2.0. I've been through it. We've been through it. Yeah. I can't do this again. I can't invest again in this couple. But like, so I was a little ticked to begin with. But then this obsession, she's foisting her relationship story on the rest of us. We all have to go through her wild, I think very unpleasant journey to love. Why? Yeah. I don't want to be on this ride.
Did you watch the documentary?
I've watched enough on TikTok to know I don't want to watch this documentary.
Here's the thing. The documentary is actually good. And I enjoyed it. And she
You're a liar.
No, I swear to God. She comes across kind of like, okay, I kind of get it, like whatever. But I've heard the stories and so forth. And I've had a friend that worked with her on a show. But the movie was just terrible then. But yes, she's forcing the love stuff on us and the story. And it's like, I get it. I do get what you're saying.
It's too much. You're asking too much of us. You are asking too much of us.
But I do think it's like unbelievable that what was it? Was it 20 years later they got back together? Was it 20?
It's probably around. It's probably around 20. Yeah.
I mean,
and I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted.
Yeah. 20 years later. So get into a bit of Bravo. You always go on Watch What Happens Live. How did that even come about, the Watch What Happens Live thing? I've done it a couple of times, the bartender thing, and it's super fun doing it.
I've seen you. Yeah. And you're great. Well, I'm a Bravo super fan and I have been from the beginning. Like one of the first shows was called Welcome to the Parker, about this hotel
in
Palm Springs. Like
Palm Springs.
Early shit. Yeah. And I was a big, big fan. And it was at a time when Bravo and reality television was sort of a guilty pleasure. Like you didn't admit that you loved it, but I was out admitting it. Like I'm out CNN.
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah.
Bravo. Right. Right.
Because it was so lowbrow. You're like, when I watched the show, you're like, you watch that garbage?
Yes. 100%. Yeah. It's not a guilty pleasure anymore. It's completely legitimate and mainstream. And in fact, I have a friend who works at Bravo in research, and he's told me a million times that the Bravo audience is very affluent, very educated.
Yes.
And there's a crossover between CNN and Bravo. Like, people who watch Bravo watch CNN and vice versa. So I locked into Bravo early and often, and I talked about it so much that, like, Andy was like, well, you gotta come on.
Come on.
And, you know, so I just started doing that. And then I go to BravoCon and I do the panels, you know, and I interview.
Yes, you do the panels, exactly.
Bravo people, I just love that world.
I have to ask you about this because it has come up. Vanderpump Rules, right? I only started the whole show when the little Scandoval thing, that's the first season I watched, right? I didn't watch it before then. There's just too much. I just can't keep up with all of them. Yeah. So Ariana, and like, it kind of bugs me, right? I get, you're like, be careful. You're like, I get like the bad thing happened to her. I understand that. And all these opportunities that are coming her way. And like, Sheena like was kind of obviously jealous about the Dancing with the Stars thing, which I think she just got. But didn't she just get, I think she just got cast for it.
Sheena did?
I think she did. Yeah, I just read it somewhere the other day. I could be totally wrong. But like,
oh, I'm so happy for her if that's true.
Do you think people are kind of like pissy about her getting all these opportunities when you actually have people that like have, not saying she's not talented, but like real talented or chasing their dreams, and then she just kind of like, oh, she got cheated on. She gets all these deals and Chicago. My brother saw her the other night in New York.
Yes, I think there's some jealousy.
Yeah.
But I think it's also just that, like, I think there's some fatigue too. Like, I think that's it. You were cheated on. It was awful. It was a terrible thing that happened to you, and you deserve all the money and the fame and the attention. You deserve it all. But can we go on with our lives now? Or are we stuck in Scandoval forever? I think there's a little of that going on too.
Because it's like, at the end of like, this stuff happens every day in everyday life in people's lives. Unfortunately, it does. It's bad, but it happens.
Yeah.
And they don't get rewarded. But like, I mean, I think I'm a bit jaded. I'm like, oh God, another deal, another thing. Like, now she's at like Carl's Jr. or she's at another like chipper or like a burger place. I'm like, I can't.
She's like the Kevin Hart of Bravo. She's just getting like all the jobs now. All of them. They're all going to Ariana.
Seriously. No, you're right. Yeah. Are you liking the season so far?
It's an odd season because we're still dealing with the collateral damage of Scandoval. And that's interesting to watch. I mean, we were all interested to see how they were going to deal with each other, but there's kind of like nothing else happening. And so I'm hoping the rest of the season gets into some other stuff. You know, I can't live in Scandoval forever either.
No, it has to move on. And I just feel like she's suffered. Raquel, Rachel has suffered. I just feel like, can we just find a way of just like being amicable again and just like, let's move on. And you know what I mean? It's like, we get it. Like,
completely.
He's paid his price. Like, he has paid. This is a funny conversation. I don't know if it's funny. So my friend, this was like last week, she went in for like biopsies and she came home and she was like, let me tell you the story. It's about doctor's bedside manner.
Okay. So I don't know if you have
She's fine. Yeah. Well, we're waiting for the results, but she'll be fine. We think it'll be okay.
Okay.
I'll keep you posted.
A funny story. My friend is in the hospital to get a biopsy. Like, what?
I'm so sorry. So like, she had to get them, like, she had to get like needles in her neck and stuff like that. Like, whatever. Right. So the doctor is like, oh, where do you live? Or, you know, or where were you? Or where's your primary doctor? And she was like, oh, it was Palm Springs, because she lived out there during the pandemic with her parents in the house. So all her doctor's visits were out there. So she's like, she's like, what's with Palm Springs? Like, how do you like live it out there? Isn't it kind of gross? Like, she just was hating on Palm Springs. And I was like, why didn't you say anything to her? Like, why didn't you correct her? She's like, because she had fucking needles in her hand and she was going to stick them in my neck. That's why. I was like, but she was just like, she just was very like, oh yeah, that looks pretty bad. I don't know. We'll probably have to get a biopsy in that. Like, just super negative. So have you ever experienced any kind of like weird doctors? I just got a hair transplant. My doctor was like insane, super nice. Like I wanted to be his best friend.
Yeah. That's what you want.
Yeah.
I have had that. I had a doctor deliver some not pleasant news. It wasn't life-changing, but it was not pleasant.
Yeah.
And the way she did it was so matter of fact and emotionless that I just thought, my God, imagine if it had been really bad. Like, how would you deliver really bad news? No, it's off-putting. And I feel like everyone is nervous to go to the doctor anyway. Like, you're already nervous about what's going to happen, what you're going to tell me, what you're going to find. The least you can do is be sensitive about that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, God. Do you know that then, like, you can leave reviews online for those doctors?
No.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. She was telling me, she was like, no, you can go on there. You can see the reviews of all these doctors.
Like,
so
Yelp,
something you
like
should
Yelp
know.
For doctors.
Yes, I don't know what the website is. It's probably some MD website. But yes, Whoa. You can actually, like, she was like, they need to teach a course on bedside manner.
Oof.
In medical school.
Oof.
I get it.
You know, it's such a clinical profession. You know, I'm sure not everyone who goes into it has the emotional touch because it's such a science, right? And probably attracts people that are more clinical than emotional. But yeah, that's why when you find a good doctor, like, never leave. Never.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you're right. Something that I've just kind of discovered about myself recently is that I've really kind of fallen down the rabbit hole on TikTok of all these tarot readers. Do you ever do that? There's some really, really good ones out there.
Okay, and so you believe this, right? You believe in...
I love all that stuff.
Yes.
I do believe in it. Spirituality, manifestation, all that kind of stuff. I do Kabbalah. Like, I'm all in.
Okay.
There's like, I go on, I'm like, oh my God, she's really good. I'm like, hey, can I get a private read? Like, literally last week, I think I had 3 private reads. I spent like $300.
You're addicted. You're an addict.
It's kind of like a bit of an addiction. Now you're like, well, what's she going to say next month? But there have been some on there where it was scary. Like, it was like it was a private read, even it was a read for everybody.
Yeah.
But she hit on every single thing going on in my life. It was and then I was like, I booked, her name's Danielle Ingento is her name. If anybody on TikTok, if you want to go see her, like, she's amazing. And they're quick and like whatever. I got a private read with her. And she literally said, she was like, she's like, you're going to do something and you're going to meet a guy. And I'm like, okay. She's like, no, it's like, and it's kind of like, it's communication. It's talking. She's like, are you doing a podcast? And I was like, yes. I was like, we just started talking about like the contract and how it was going to go. And so I was like, yeah. She's like, but there's another guy. And there's another guy like, and it's like, almost like he has a podcast or something like that. Last night I went on a date. And he has a podcast with another guy. And it's like,
did you know that when you went out with him?
I did, but I'm only actually thinking of it now because when I did that tarot read, this was before I started this podcast. So that must have been 2 months ago, at least 2.5 months ago. I don't know, but it was like a 9 out of 10. The date was, it was a really good date last night.
Yay.
So we'll see. I don't know.
God.
But she said that and she was really good.
Yeah.
So I went back for 2 more reads. Like, and so
yes,
I did.
Yes, you did.
I went back last week because she was good. And then she like said more things and like, it was, she was great. So you can find really good people on there.
Is the excitement for you, oh my God, she knows so much about me. Or are you going to learn stuff about future, like to help you make decisions?
I think, do you know what it is? I think when you go and see these people, I don't go for answers. Mm. I just go for like maybe just a tiny bit of guidance. Just like, okay, just be aware of that. Just be a bit aware of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, that's all. You know what I mean? Because you have to take it with a grain of salt. You can't live your life, well, she said this, so this must be happening.
Right.
Like even this guy last night, I went on a date with, and it was a great date. Like, if it doesn't work out, it's fine. Like, I'm not going to be like, well, she said this, you know, it's like,
yeah.
And you can't control it. You go on the date, you let it go. We'll see what happens.
I like that.
You just kind of release it. Yeah. You have to.
When I was in 6th grade and I was about to move and one of my best friends wanted to have one last like, you know, hangout.
Yeah.
And our moms, got us like a lunch at this hotel, like this fancy hotel, and then had a palm reader come as like this, our final like play date or whatever. And the palm reader goes through all these things about me that sound very true. Like, you work with your feet. I was a ballet dancer at the time.
Yeah.
You love the ocean. I was born at the ocean. I'm a Pisces also. Lots of things that made so much sense. I wrote them all down on the back of a bank receipt and I put it in my wallet, and I had it for the next like 30 years.
Yeah.
But one thing she said, it's going to be hard for you to conceive when you're older. You're going to have reproductive challenges. And wow. I thought about that so much. Growing up and being a young woman, yeah. and, you know, getting married, I was so worried about that because I believed this reading.
Sure.
And I had no trouble conceiving. None.
Right.
None whatsoever. Okay. In fact, when we got married, my husband and I, John and I got married, and I said, it's going to be hard for me to have a baby, so we should start right away. I mean, a month later, I was pregnant. So great. I mean, it was so... I have a bit of a bad taste because, and this is on me, not her. Mm. I held on to that because I was a young and yeah. impressionable kid. And sure. it worried me for years. Yeah. I was worried about that. This thing that ended up not being a problem. So I don't know, maybe I need to revisit the space as a mature adult and take it for what
sure.
it is. Like you say, you take it with a grain of salt. You're just aware of something and then you move
exactly.
on.
Exactly. And it's because, look, like, I've gone to other ones and stuff, and they've said stuff where it's like, none of it's happened. You know what I mean? So it's like, fine. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you just, I think just go for fun, you know, kind of keep it in the back of your mind. If something happens, you'd be like, oh my God, how cool. Like, she said that was going to happen. And just kind of have fun with it like that, you know?
I get that. Okay. When I come out to LA, we're going to go together.
Yes. Yes.
You're going to take me.
Please. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to do you. I don't read. I don't do tarot reading.
No, but we're going to go together. You're going to take me to your guy, your person, your lady.
Perfect. We're not going to play a game, but I do want to know how this came about. You won Jeopardy? A celebrity version of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to say that. It's not real Jeopardy. It's the celebrity version of Jeopardy.
It's still hard. Like, it's not easy. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I watch Jeopardy sometimes. Terrible. And I'm like, I know the answer. I'm like, what is, like, I just get stuck on it. I'm like, why can they not just say the answer? Why does it have to be in the form of a question?
I know.
Is it just always been like that and that's just the game and just shut up, Stuart?
It's always like, been like that, but it's rude. Like, can't you just know the answer?
Yeah, like, because sometimes you can kind of stumble on that to try and get out as fast as possible instead of just blurting out the answer.
Yes. Jeopardy was the most nervous I've ever been for anything. I don't get nervous doing TV at all, but this is like a big stage where you could really like do a number on your own reputation. You could really mess up and fall on your face.
Well, for whatever it was, if you, yeah.
And I have friends and colleagues in my business who have done it and it did not go well. And like that lives forever on the internet. So I was very worried that not that I didn't really even care about winning. I mean, I wanted to win for my charity. Again, No Kid Hungry. But I just didn't want to embarrass myself. And the fact that I got through it unscathed and won was amazing. Really nice. But
that's really cool.
I have a great story from Jeopardy. I was on with Chuck Todd, who's on MSNBC. He's another Politico. Real smart and a friend. And Jonathan Franzen, who is a novelist, very smart. And I'm going into the green room and there's Chuck. Hi, Chuck. And Alex Trebek is there and Jonathan Franzen is there. And Jonathan comes up to me and goes, are you hair and makeup?
Shut up.
Uh-huh. And Alex says, no, that's Essie Cupp. She's your competitor.
So
and I just could not. This was not in the 1950s, by the way. This was just a few years ago. Yeah. I could not believe that a man of this era of today could come up with the words to say to any woman, are you hair and makeup? Like off the bat, like you must be hair and makeup. It was wild to me and all the more sweeter when I beat him.
Yes. I mean, that would just give me like, oh my God, anxiety. I'm like, wait, should I not be here then? Like, you know what I mean? It could make you like spin. Not you, obviously.
It could. Don't think he was trying. He wasn't trying to be mean. He just assumed hair and makeup because I'm a youngish woman who doesn't look like an intellectual. Mind you, I've got several degrees, including a master's, and I've written books. But he didn't know, didn't care, and just assumed I'm here to do his hair and makeup.
Jesus. All right. Before we go, last thing I want to ask you. The TikTok ban. What's happening with it now? Does it go to the Senate? And what do you think is going to happen? Like, honestly.
I'm not sure where it is in Congress at the moment. But my husband and I argue about this. He thinks it's going to be banned. I don't think it's going to be banned.
Really?
I don't. And I hope it's not. I love TikTok. It's a super creative place. And I think it's really good for a lot of communities. Like, and I think there's just this, I mean, there's the fear of China that's just part of all of this. And a simple answer would be for TikTok to divest from China. But someone would have to buy it to do that. And I don't think
they'll have a problem selling that.
Because it's difficult.
Would they? A lot of
difficult,
money.
Difficult, tricky, difficult, complicated. Oh. So I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm not all that worried that it's going to be banned.
Oh, all right.
Some optimism.
Do you have any? Okay, I have a little gadget. This could actually be fun for you. I always like, before we wrap it up, I always kind of give a food tip or a gadget or what I like right now or whatnot.
Give me.
I don't know if I said it last week. I can't remember. But what I've seen on TikTok, we're talking about it. There's a girl, and I make chicken paillard probably once a week for my clients, right? Okay. It's something they love. But one complaint that she always has, and now in a really nice way, she's not like a bitch or anything. She's like, oh, I just wish it could be thinner and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm going to put holes through the chicken breast if I get any thinner. But if you use a tortilla press between two pieces of plastic, put the chicken breast, but like you have the chicken breast first, two pieces of plastic with a tortilla press, it flattens it so thin.
Oh my gosh, what a
It is a
idea.
Great gadget.
Because when you're tenderizing, when I'm like pounding my chicken for like a Milanese or something, it's so uneven because the chicken's uneven.
Yes.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah. So I bought it. It works. Be a bit patient with it. Like, it's a bit of trial and error, but it does work.
I'm writing
this down. Post the link of the one I bought, like on the details of the podcast afterwards.
That's such a good idea.
Before we go, please tell everybody where they can find you on TV and what is your Instagram.
Well, you can find me on CNN every goddamn hour of the day.
Exactly.
I'm bored with myself.
If you follow her on Instagram, you'll see when she's going to be on. She posts about it with a new outfit before she gets on.
I do.
And it's really cute. I like it. I'm like, hey, I need those pants.
I know. And then on social media, I'm at SE Cup. And I also have a nationally syndicated column they can find every week, but you don't have to look far. I am obnoxiously in your face.
You're everywhere. Great. Everybody follow her if you want to learn a thing or two. SE Cup, thank you so much for coming on. And I will see you in LA or New York whenever, whoever makes it there.
We will. It will happen. I adore you. And thanks for having me.